Those who believe in the Son of God have the testimony in their heart. That is what is written in the epistle from John. A testimony has power. I learned that my first year out of seminary when I was an interim chaplain at a private school. I led weekly worship services at a school where chapel was required, even though there were no unified beliefs in the student population. We had Jewish and Muslim students, Hindu students, but the real diversity was within the Christian student population, where there were theologically liberal but liturgically formal Episcopalians praying side by side by evangelical Christians who did not believe it was true worship unless there was an altar call bringing forth people who would give their lives over to Jesus Christ at the end. Those same Christians also tended to believe that a woman shouldn't be a pastor, so it was pretty much that I was set up for failure even before I entered the pulpit to preach. But something I learned is that when I could train students to speak in chapel, to speak from their hearts about something that really mattered to them, something they believed and had tested out in their lives, something important to them, that would be a chapel service that moved everyone, no matter what religious background they came from. This is my story. That's a hard line to argue against. When you tell me, this is my story, I can't come back at you and say, no, 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 that's not your story. Let me tell you what your story is. I cannot do that because it is your story, not my story. One time I had to testify in court on behalf of a parishioner who was in a former church. This church member's husband, who did not come to church, had been abusive to her over some time, both physically and emotionally. Early one Sunday morning, it got worse. She called me after her husband had assaulted both her and her daughter. We called the police, and then I brought her and the children to church to be safe and surrounded by community while the police continued to talk with the husband. But later that morning in worship, halfway through the sermon, I saw her husband entering through the back doors, the front doors of the sanctuary and sit in a back pew. The other pastor sitting up front and I could see him, but his wife could not because she was sitting facing us toward the front of the church. It was terrifying. He disappeared before the service was over. I reported this stalking incident to the police and was later asked to testify in court about that day and all that had happened. I shared what I had noticed on that Sunday morning and then had the experience where I was treated like my story was fake news, as the abusive husband took the stand next and wove a compelling story that made me sound like he had never even come to the church, and that I was a liar. It was as if he was trying to tell me and his wife, no, that's not your story. Let me tell you how your story goes instead. It gave me a sense of what it must have been like for this parishioner over time to be made to believe by her husband that her version of truth was wrong. Ultimately, the court believed my testimony and the one of my parishioner. I was telling the truth, she was telling the truth, and our testimonies were believed, regardless of the alternative facts out there. And that was a life-saving moment, a transformative moment for this woman. And for those of you who know and who have participated in our partnership with the Olaf House, where women who are fleeing situations of family abuse can find a safe place to stay, you see a way that the church offers life-saving grace in people's everyday lives. In 1 John, the writer asks, if human truths are to be believed, how much even more so is God's truth to be believed. For the testimony God gave through Jesus is life. Life. Whoever has the Son has life. True story. The origins of the word testimony go back to the Latin word for testicles, male reproductive organs. I'm not joking. There was an ancient custom in Rome where two men making an oath to one another would hold their own testicles as a sign of truthfulness while bearing witness in a public forum. Quite literally, a man making a testimony held his lifeline in his hands. But when we believe the testimony God has given us in Jesus, our eternity belongs to something even greater than what our physical bodies, male or female, can produce. To tell a story of God's love as made known to us in Jesus Christ is life. But it can be hard for most of us to testify to the power of that love, especially here in the Northeast, where we tend to keep our opinions about religion close within our shells. We don't want to offend anybody, especially if they don't believe what we believe. Add to that the difficulty of sharing your faith and sharing heartfelt meaning when you and your conversation partner may not speak the same language fluently. We Presbyterians love to quote the phrase, "Preach the gospel at all times, use words when necessary." But to be truthful, not many of us, including myself, are very good at living lives that just ooze with obviousness about the gospel's teaching. So sometimes words are useful to at least say what we're trying to do here, even though sometimes we might miss the mark. In John's gospel, Jesus speaks to his followers a blessing before he leaves them, before his crucifixion and his ascension into heaven to be once again with God. Jesus blesses his followers with words, saying the words that God gave him, Jesus now gives his followers. Further, Jesus adds, "I speak these things in the world so that they might have my joy made complete in themselves." Wow, what a gift to be able to receive Jesus' joy. David Ewart, a preacher, said, "Whenever we are offered a blessing in the Bible, we might be tempted to run and hide because a blessing never comes without a God-sized mission. And God-sized missions never come without a cost." The Holy Spirit is at work with you as her partner, writing a story that no one could tell quite like you. Jesus, the physical Jesus who breathed and walked and touched and ate and drank, is no longer with us in flesh and bone. This Sunday, in the liturgical calendar, we celebrate Ascension Sunday when the resurrected Jesus leaves the earth and ascends to heaven to be with God. What, then, are we left with? Well, we know we're 1 week away from Pentecost Sunday, and we know that with that will come the rush of a mighty wind and the coming of the Holy Spirit. But in addition to that, let us be mindful of what Jesus promised us before that day in his parting blessing. He promised that his words would be in us. And as we live into our faith, our lives will weave the words that Christ has left us. I think of Jesus' parting blessing in John as a kind of words a parent would tell a child before the child sets out in the world, whether to start college or try out a job that would be out of the home or move to the United States from the country where they grew up, or to do something that would make them more independent from their parents' immediate control and care. On a much smaller scale, yesterday I sat among the parents and grandparents watching while my daughter took her belt test to move up a level in Taekwondo. She's been working hard and did well in the test, but it was interesting to watch how the other parents responded to their kids taking the test. I noticed at one point that in my cohort of parents, I heard a strange whimpering coming from two different parts of the room. I realized that the mom next to me, who's a friend of mine, was crying with joy as she watched her daughter accomplish each of the tasks needed to earn her next belt. But across on the other side of the parent section, another mom was crying softly. This mom was watching the anguish spread across her daughter's face as her daughter tried twice to break a board but could not kick through, which meant that this child would not earn her belt that day. These whimpers were in stereo, one of joy, the other of sorrow, as echoes of one another. And before the test, my friend, the one with the joyful tears, told me, "I'm so nervous. I'm more terrified of this than I've been for anything else I've ever tried for." Now, to give you perspective, this woman plays an instrument for the New York Philharmonic. She's tried a few things. It was as if, for each of these parents, this belt test would be a marker for whether or not their kid would grow to be okay in the world. I like to think that God has more perspective. After all, Puerto Rico still doesn't have power. And I have been the parent of the child who succeeds, and I've also been the parent of the child who fails. I've seen that she has learned as much from her failures as she has from her successes. A Jewish child psychologist wrote a book called The Blessing of a B Minus, using Jewish teachings to raise resilient teenagers, in which she reminds families that our failures will not make us perfect, but they will make us better, more resilient human beings. But I admit that there is a part of me that always misses on Mother's Day having my mom there, both to help absorb my pain and sorrow and to also amplify my joy in stereo. Some may still have their mothers alive but miss that connection because they did not get it enough from their parents. And I know Mother's Day is hard for several people for other reasons as well. But Jesus reminded his followers in a speech before leaving, God has already given us the things we need to be okay. Not okay in the sense that devastating things will never happen to us, but okay in the truth that as we live our lives, God will be present in our stories, the living testimonies we create. By coming to live in the life of Jesus, who knew love and loss, sorrow and joy, fear and friendship, dancing, where's Ryan, and dying, God came to know more fully the kinds of material we would use for our own stories. God has mothered us to the point where we can launch and be okay in the world. Your life is a living testimony to how God's love is at work in your story. No one, not even God, can tell it quite like you can. So, have you figured out what you're going to say? Amen.